Welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast.
December 18th, 2015, episode number 87, bonus edition, Carolee Toth. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Beekeeper's Corner Podcast. This is Kevin England. I'm pleased to bring you, for this episode, a bonus edition recording of Carolee Toth. This recording was captured from a Northwest New Jersey Beekeepers Association meeting on September 26, 2015. Carolee, often simply referred to as Charlie, is a Somerset County, New Jersey beekeeper who, among other things, produces queens selected for hygienic behavior and mite resistance. He, as you'll hear, has been keeping bees since 1953 and has a heritage that takes him back to his European roots in beekeeping. I've known Carolee since I've been keeping bees and simply love his demeanor. He's always smiling and often has a sly grin like he knows something you don't, and that's because he does. Having been keeping bees so long, he's a wealth of knowledge, and it is not too often that you get to let him free to share his opinions and approaches. What I find most insightful about the presentation you're about to listen to is his detailed observations in keeping bees mixed with his no-nonsense pragmatic approach. Now, as always with these recordings, I'm not a professional sound technician, and the recording is a little muddy and there's some fussing around with the microphone set up in the first minute or so of the presentation. The room we were in was medium-sized and there's a bit of background noise that comes through, but I thought that several of his insights were just so thought-provoking and it inspired me to go back and pull this recording out of the video and put it out as a bonus edition. Now, that being said, if you want to watch this, you can forego the audio and watch the video on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/NWNJBA, if that is preferred. If not, the audio stands well alone, and we hope you enjoy this session where Carolee talks about raising bees locally, queen insights, and a number of other beekeeping husbandry tips along the way. Please enjoy.
Our bees nationwide, worldwide, dying off. And I'm just doing research on my own and also have a grant a couple of years ago from a share grant. I do some bee research, 15,000 in a year. When I finish it, and I have very sad findings. Our bee problems is purely man-made. You like it or not, that's the story. And we cannot unmade it. We have to live with it. And the easiest way to rid of the problem, all of us, we have to get together and breeding our own bees. The bees problem comes from south, with the packages, queens, and everything else. Pollinators moving bees, one corner to other corner of the world, okay? And dropping down the disease, left it here with the bees, and we, our bees take it up, and we constantly fight against that situation, right? And package cost, pollination cost, everything will go up. If I can tell you that we are buying yearly in New Jersey 5,000 packages every year. 5,000 packages come with the drones. I tried to approach several package makers in South. I like to buy packages, but no drones, and practically left on me. I said, what do you think? Oh, you can do that. That's very easy. That's a very easy beekeeper technique. But with the packages, be getting the drones, and the drones is 100% clean. Therefore, we get the package, and they drones mating with our bees, and we constantly swimming against the flow. We cannot go no place, because the bees infected by the southern doors, the drones, and we are in, a, in and our bees is dying, period, from the diseases and whatever we have. 5,000 package. How much is the package today? 10?
110.
How much is the package today?
110.
Can you help me out? 5,000 packages. I have a better one. Everybody can see that.
Yeah.
Packages equal.
Help me out here.
55 and 4 zeros.
55 and 4 zeros.
Yep.
$500,000. Ah, that's a good looking house. So $500,000 every year from our beekeeper pocket goes to the southern beekeeper pocket. Alright? But in the 10 years, how much is that? $5 million. What we can do with $5 million? New Jersey beekeeper. 80% of them do not survive the winter.
Wow.
That is university studies, not get from the air. So, if you make a dish, then we end up with 20%, and how much was the one package? Alright? That's funny, getting funnier. That's only $5 million only for 10 years. If we buy in 10 years, 5,000 packages, we should have 50,000 plus packages in New Jersey. We are also importing 12 to 15,000 colony for pollination. Wow. Every year.
How many was that?
12 to 15,000. Every year. $80, $90, $100 were high. So here we are. The reason I'm here, because I know these numbers, and I'm more aggravated than you are. I know these numbers, and these numbers don't disappear. They will stay there. That's the reason I decided, Charlie and Kevin, a year ago or so, they needed a
YouTube.
Camera? YouTube?
Yes.
See on the YouTube? I see a couple of versions of it. And the simplest way somebody can multiply their bees, Charlie and Kevin and the other people who put together to keep our bees alive and do not import bees. I only one person probably in New Jersey, maybe on the East Coast, against the importation of bees. Importation of bees is nothing but we also importing bee diseases. So we are again against the river flow and try to swim and try to go ahead and be going on. So what else is? That's my basic aggravation. We go a little bit, I like to go talk about a little bit the queen breeding. The queen breeding is the highest level of the beekeeping, usually requiring, who's going this business, have 4 years entomology college and a couple of years under the commercial wind producer. The smallest wind producers have to produce at least 10,000 winds a year to stay in the business and pay the car payment, the truck payment. The biggest producer, bigger producers producing a 500,000 winds and the shipping worldwide. Right? Here comes one thing. The number is went up, the quality goes down. So I'll be buying winds underdeveloped and undermated. I'm doing this research on my own, and 2 years ago I bought 25 winds. That was the most striking situation, what I did. $600-$700. I already prepared the nooks, I put it in, and I'm checking every 10 days. Within 6 weeks, all of the winds were superseded. Okay? The money, time,
within six weeks.
All of them will supersede. Yeah. Now the superseder is come late in this part of the year, and late August and September, those bees cannot make it. Okay? That is out of the time, they cannot overwinter. Even you put in the money, time, effort, they still not survive. Okay? So that's for that. Well, one more thing. That was the queens a year ago. Accidentally, other beekeeper is doing the same research than I did. In this year, I'm breeding queens and working breeding for a meeting which I needed bees. So I figured that it's a make sure I have enough bees for the breeding, meeting nooks. I bought 20 packages. Other beekeeper in South Jersey did the same thing, but we never talk about it. I know him very well. So I set up 20 packages. When I get it, next day I install them and I get 3 dead queens. So I ended up already 17. 4 days later, I went in and I checked them. I want to take out the empty cells, the queen cells. I find 4 more. So 7 is out. And during that rest of the season, some of them turn to drone layer, some of them turn to worker layer. So right now, I have 8. I'm lucky. I lost only 60% of it. Okay. They most likely survived the winter. But we have to be these data, this information, what I went through, okay, encourage me to be here, talk to you, and only one way can get rid of the problem, everyone able to produce their own. Multiplying or increasing your beehive. Very simple. Kevin and you guys, last year they put in YouTube that video. I looked most of them, and that is encouraging me to come here and talk about a little bit more. That's an excellent job, first steps, and many other bee clubs ask me to do the same thing, for the reason I'm here, but they don't do nothing about it. So how can we can talk with the increasing beehives if you don't do nothing about it? So you went to the place and try it, and I like to refine that part. Number one, when you decided to make an increase, you have to decide every this year that you make them next year. Okay? That is, we call that selection. It's selecting the hive which is able to produce better quality bees. Criteria, selection method. It's number one, gentleness. This is not running on the frame. Better wax builder. So these have to be put in a head, and what kind of bees you are looking, you're Italian, Cornelian, or whatever race, but you have to make a decision this year what we are doing in next year. Next year is coming. The condition of the hive, the condition of the conditions, the weather conditions, high population, health conditions, that all of be considered. And when you are ready, you have to increase, stimulate the hive population. It's very important when you have two-story hive and you have only half-story bees in it, you cannot split it. So that's nothing but preparation. You have to get ready the hive to split it. Okay? And when you're ready for that, the splitting hive goes more than one way. But what you guys did it in the first place, that's the easiest. Walk away. Walk away with one hive, and other hive is that the butt. You have to have eggs in each chamber because you don't know where is the queen. So where is the queen? Naturally, that is just go through, and other ones make sure you have eggs and they're able to raise their own queen.
So you're talking about a walkaway split. That's the video he's referring to, where you have a two-box hive and you literally take one off. You look in the hive, it has brood chamber across the two boxes, but you don't know where the queen is. You set a bottom board over on the other side, and you take the top box, and you put it on the bottom board, and you put a roof on it, and you walk away. Walk away split. If there's a queen in one, and if there's eggs in the other, they will raise a queen in the other. That's what he's discussing.
Full body frames. But both sections, both buds, you have to have eggs. Okay? Because a larva is just not enough. Because nobody knows that in the larva age. The larva, 24 hours larva, can be converted or to the queen. But otherwise, when it's 36 hours, only we talk about hours now. And if you 36 hours, the bees cannot raise a good queen hive. The other thing, when you're moving that box and the larva floating in a royal jelly, and when you drop it, put it down in a royal jelly from the cell, okay, that larva moves, okay, you get out from the original position, and the bees cannot accept it. So even though everything is there, still not working. Mm-hmm. So these are fine details. But you have to be very, very careful that the queen rearing is a highly sensitive, hygienic activity in the bee business. So it's not enough just do something, they have to do it right. When this happened, 13, 16 days later, the queen emerged. The queen, when it's in a cocoon, when in the cell, the beehive cannot be moved, have to stand still. In a cocoon, the queen is head down. Right? That's the way they develop. Right? If you move it, okay. In a cocoon, okay, the queen slide down. Hang up on the shoulders and the wing shoulders, and it's the less time the queen is developing the wings. So one of the most important, even the queen is not a flying machine, okay, but she have to fly out, have to mate, and if she cannot fly out mate, this is that queen. All of the work is done for nothing. So that is the sensitivity, even that simple, but have to be accurate and have to be time error. When you made a split, 30 days later, exactly can go back. Okay, you have to find the laying queen. If you don't find the laying queen, one more week and done. That time is run out on that queen, and you have to do something about it. You have to dissolve that section. That's it. That is one of the walk away method, and every beekeeper can do that. Every beekeeper just do it once a year, one hive. Okay, that bees survive. Now the other thing is the timing, and we can do that. Only one time we can do that, when the bees want to do that. That's very simple. Easy to dance if you have a music. Something <dance. laughs> if something is missing is so we talk about a little bit when do you raise the best queen in your backyard? The best queen raised any place in the earth under swarm impulse. When a bee is ready to multiply naturally. But the beekeepers don't let swarm. So the beekeeper have to create an emergency situation. So the best queen, swarm impulse, and an emergency condition. Every location, every beekeeper is in different location, and every have a different time. Over here in North Jersey, where I live 2 weeks earlier, down Cape May 2 weeks earlier again. So we have no data error. We cannot make it April 4th or May 10th. The bee is telling you when it's ready. If you have a two-story hive, a bee is flying, lift up the hive, look underneath between the two hives, okay, and look for queen cups. Queen cups is a natural build up every spring and every hive, but in a different time, because one hive is different than to the other one. So you have 10 hives in a hive. You cannot make it a 10 hives in the same time, because all hives is different. How different is all hives? Anybody knows the beekeeper number 2 rules? Anybody heard about it? So you have 9 hives, okay. They're applying the number 3 rules. What does it mean? 1/3 of your hives, excellent. 2/3 of your hive, it's a medium. And the 1/3 of the hive, you have to worry about. So when you make a decision which hive, you're raising queen or want to split or multiply it, absolutely positively, not the 3rd one. You have to sacrifice the best one. And here comes the issue. When you do that year after year, you come to the inbreeding situation. Because the mother has a daughter, and a daughter has other daughter, and all of them is in one line. It became inbreeding. And for prevent that one, we every year be buying out from a different line. Buy a queen, put it in your backyard, and the next year you're breeding from that. If that is suitable for breeding, or that queen is used, that hive used for a drone mother. Drone mother. What's happening with the drone mother? The queen is flying out and meets up to 20 or more. Some researchers find that 29 different drones. That's 1 meter point. No question about it. The drone mothers, the drones carrying 100% of the mother queen gene, because it came out from the unfertilized eggs. Okay. So here to come the issue, when we can talk about the queen became a drone layer, they somehow misspelled or misunderstood. The queen naturally a drone layer. But the queen has the ability to fertilize the eggs. Okay? So we have to be careful not to inbreed, but in our area when one beekeeper, bees fly to other beekeeper is not an issue, but keeping a good line, that's a very, very important. How much time do we have?
Keep going.
Keep going.
You got plenty of time.
All right. I'm putting my thinking. Let's see what we not cover. Okay. The beekeeping look like a spider web. Every corner is connected to the other corner. We go around in a spider web, we go around all of the zigzag that can go back in the same place. So when we have missing something not connected, we can make a very little mistake. So it's very important to read. And this is one of the book, Contemporary Queen Breeding by Baden. Am I pass it through? $20, worth of every penny. If you raising queen or not, make any difference. That is a book you have to page it and have to study. The page it mean read it at least 20 times. And be on the reach all the time, you get it, and many answers in it, and but you never ever think about to ask a question. But it's a very, very good book. So we have a time, we like to go to a little bit farther. I told you, the beekeeping is like a spider, right? We go around, and you always can get back in the same place. And the more defined the walkway, splits, and many people call many things, but I call that something else. The beekeeper is designing, make more bees, increasing the hives, do some more sophisticated work in it, to stimulate brood rearing in the early spring, has a capacity to find the queen. Where is the queen? Right. When you have a two-story hive, and you have 7-8 frame of brood, at that time, it's very difficult to find a queen. Even for me, it's not so easy. But we have all of the hive equipment is tools. Doesn't matter what you have. You have a smart box, Excel, form, hive body or hive body. You make a two-story hive, big hive, when you go through and don't find a queen, make a three-story hive with the same frames. Leave alone the bottom, in the second story, five frame in one box, five frame in the other box, we make a three story. And between each hive, okay, you put a queen as food. 2-3 hours later, come back, you will find the queen. Please, choose bees, which is not aggressive. More smoke you use, less chance to find the queen. I don't use veil, I don't use gloves, and I give a puff of smoke only for the guard bees, and the bees sting me. Like it or not, sometimes I get the sting, sometimes I don't. And you find the queen. Put the queen in a separate box. One frame of sealed brood, one frame of open brood, and from the original hive, from the open brood, take at least 2 shakes. So 2 frames of bees is one box and covered with bees. Now what you did? Many people call many other things. I call that artificial swarm. I made artificially swarm the hive. Time matter. What's happened? What is the swarm issue? What kind of queens lead the swarm?
Old queen.
Young queen?
Mm-hmm.
Old queen.
Mm-hmm.
Old queen. I take out the old queen, right? They cannot swarm anymore because the old queen is out. And they're raising automatically their own queen. No swarm. 20 queen cell, still no swarm. Right? So you eliminated the swarm, just removing the old queen, and plus, you don't have to climb up a tree to get the swarm. right on the level, here, right over here. Yeah, but why do you have to go there? Central Jersey, two professional, one is engineer, put a 36-foot ladder for a pine tree. The pine tree branch is gone, he is gone too. And he said, but I got a swarm. $60,000 medical bill. And crippled the rest of his life. Both of them. They call themselves beekeeper, I call them idiot. That's the way it goes. Beekeeper, managing the hives. Amateurs, beehivers, chasing the swarm. That's simple. Alright, so what else? I call that a restless situation an artificial swarm. Artificial swarm, one time, you're increasing your hives and preventing the swarm, and you save the honeycomb. One bullet, two birds. Alright? Now, let's see, timing section, it's just about over on this one, but I'd like to tell a few things about we've decided, or want to decide, to go to the queen raiding business. Need a college education, need to go to a field training for 5 years, when you decide to be comfortable. You need a financial backup. You need all of the equipment. Everything is ready. Truck is ready. Mating looks is ready. And I advise everybody for only $1 million before you push the button to start the business. One thing is go to the pharmacy, buy a quart jar of pain reliever for headache, because the headache is not right. That's very, very simple. But in our level, this level, what we have here, walk away, spirit is excellent. If you refine your skill a little bit, and you have extra boxes, extra equipment, you make an artificial swarm. Right? When you make artificial swarm, you see these queen cells, and your eyes right away, like a register running. It's one cell, two cells, so many nooks or whatever things I can make it. Please don't get greedy, because the first selection in queen is start at the hive, because the best queen, the most energetic queen, is survive. So the selection start right there. Don't worry about how many queens that you have, because took out the old queen, and they do not swarm. Questions?
Did you mention the timing for the walkaway?
The timing is every queen manipulation. So here comes the, I can add many other kings when you're following this situation. The timing is the best time swarm impulse, and you have to create emergency condition.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that the swarming is inheritable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that conversation was for the walkaway. Okay. I got it.
Because the swarm mink is inheritable.
Yeah.
So more swarm again. This is a key reality. So you can breed out your bees from the swarming habit. Okay. Or if you just let them to swarm, they swarm. And then swarm once, swarm twice. And how many times you swarm, that many times costs you money. But if you create an artificial division, one way or other way, your skill and your time, business time, and you can avoid it. That's a big key. The beehiver, you know, they're chasing the swarm, climbing the tree, like that, whatever. And the beekeeper is managing their bees.
Mm.
And time, I understand. Everybody has a job and kids and dogs and whatever, veterinarians, space of the earth and pay mortgages. So that's, I went through all of this pressure. But rather you have less hive and manage it than more hive, and every spring you're buying packages or whatever. Yeah.
Mm.
Sure. All right. When you get down to your old queen,
yeah,
you got the hive with the old mother. How likely are they to supersede her out? How long does she last?
No. Well, it's superseding only if she's failed.
But you separate her. You wait till, let's say, the peak swarm time. You look around. You do your split.
Yeah.
Now you've got your new hive with no queen that's going to make a queen. You've got the old hive with the old queen over here.
Yeah.
How long does she have? Does she go on like nothing happened?
Yeah. She can go over 2-3 years, depend on the queen condition.
Okay.
The queens can live 3 years, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, like if you have three hives and you have a number three rules in a beehive, then you have the third one is just limping. Okay. You can combine the old queen with that hive, which is not naked. Okay? But the problem comes when the inbreeding is occurs sooner or later. Right? So, this situation, you buying a new queen from other sources sooner or later, but make sure when you're buying the new queen, the time matters, so that we build up to overwinter.
I'm a beginner, but I have a question. Having been through a late supersedure in August, where I lost an entire brood cycle, are you in an advantage? Is supersedure not disadvantageous if it comes earlier, like in June or July?
Well, the supersedure situation occurring when a queen is failing and the bees notice that before the beekeeper notice that and supersede her.
Yeah.
So exchanging. There's no advantage and disadvantage in this because only the bees is
known. No, I know that. What I'm asking is it better to have a supersedure earlier in the season where it affects
no
the population?
No supersedure better, anytime.
They all are bad.
That's a queen failure.
That was my conclusion because you've lost an entire brood cycle and you're at a serious disadvantage while the 30 days or whatever for supersedure. It's going to be difficult, if not impossible, to get your population back up.
But you see,
and that's what I'm facing.
When you have a that's a good question. Maybe we change the page and I go back to different. One second. How can I approach this? Supersedure is a good situation. When you make a split and the bees is raising their own queen, okay, that's 30 days when the new queen starts to functioning. But they have at least 6 or 7 sealed brood. Okay? Each brood, each cell, when a bee is coming out, taking up 3 bee space, 3 cell space.
Yeah.
So, one fairly full frame can have 4,000? 4,000 bees. To reframe, fill up one box with bees. So here come the situation. You when you made the split, okay, to frame with the old queen is out, but 25,000 bees is emerging in a different stage. So the main hive do not suffer. Okay, you take out less bees than the swarm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And that's the for an original hive is no suffering whatsoever. Only one thing, good thing is happen. They have a new queen.
Charlie, we have a lot of new beekeepers. Mm-hmm. Every year we get new. And everybody wants to see the queen. So they buy a package, they buy a new call for you or wherever they get them. And they put the bees there. And in 3 or 4 days, they don't let the queen come out. They open it up and they want to look for the queen. They're still in the cave. That's a mistake. All these young beekeepers and new beekeepers, what you do, when you get a package or a nuke or everything, put her in there and let her go and don't bother her.
Right.
Don't open up the hive and to pull a frame out and all of a sudden you injured or damaged that queen.
Right.
If you hurt her leg, her antenna or anything else, they know they're going to supersede and make another queen.
That's
and right away they're going to throw that one out and make another. So there you're going to set everything
you're
back.
Set back. Right.
And this is the prime time. You're early in the spring. They got all that time to build up. So that's one of the disadvantages. When you get in there, don't open up that hive once or twice a week. And want to see the queen? If you see eggs and brood and the colony is active, look at the entrance, you see everything going on, fine. If your dwindles down, you don't see much activity, hey, get in there and take a look. Very gently, minimal amount of smoke, and one frame at a time. I usually take one frame out, not the first one, but the second frame,
right,
but it's attached to the side. I take that second frame out, either left or right,
right.
Very gently take it out and look at it. In 20 seconds, you should see if the queen is on that frame.
Yeah.
Just scan it. If not, I take that frame and set it on the side. Now I have room that I can manipulate that hive and push them apart with the hive tool, break off the poplar, and gently, one frame at a time, take them out and look at them. Right? If you want to do that.
And the minute you see all the stages, you're done.
You see all of it, put them back, don't disturb them anymore. They're fine. You see eggs and larvae, you see boiled jelly, fine. Right? That's a mistake a lot of new beekeepers make.
The beekeepers.
And I keep telling them, don't open up that hive every week or twice a week. You're just setting them back another whole day. You know? And you're going to damage that queen, that's your mother. Without her, you got nothing. Right? And you go down and you crash. Then they're going to make supersedures and you just go crazy. You know?
The beekeepers, during the hive manipulation, 10% of the hive manipulation killing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
that.
When you open the hive, make sure, and you take out the frames, don't put them around. So I always have a loot box with me, screen bottom. If accidentally please fall down, I can see it and put it back. Yeah, but putting up frames here and there, and many beekeepers putting the legs and all over, and smoker between the legs and everything else in the base of the earth. Well, if it's got lost, it's lost. It's done. Yeah. You have 30 days setback right away in just because you are manipulated and curious and you don't know. Many people is just careless or just don't know how to do it back.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm. When do you start the stimulative feeding?
I grew up in an area when we have a spring honeyflow, and our spring honeyflow was mostly black locust, and that's we start to feeding, stimulate brood rearing 8-9 weeks earlier. It doesn't matter when is your area, you have to understand your area. People is calling me, why you can't do this? I don't know. What do you think about my hive? I cannot see your hive. I don't know. You know, this kind of thing.
When you say stimulate, are you asking nature to use the nectar flow or what?
It's not stimulate. That's natural.
Natural stimulation.
That's natural. Doesn't matter how you feed. It doesn't matter what you feed. The matter is how often you feed. portion control is a more important thing. We are stimulating, ruderating, for the queen to keep going, not to put the food in the cells. Doesn't matter what you feed, corn syrup, sugar syrup, honey, whatever you feed, just feed a certain amount of dairy. Right now, if you have a full frame of a full hive box, the portion is 1 quart of dairy per hive. The bees take 2 quarts or 3 quarts, but you don't want to store sugar syrup. You want them to work ahead, use that for energy, in the morning go out and get honey and nectar and put it inside. That's the stimulation. Okay? I'm feeding my bees for 5 pound jars with one hole. One 4 pound nail the size of one. Right? And they build up and nicely, because the queen has to have a certainty the food is coming in. Stimulation, so people said, that, okay, I have many frames from last year, I put it in, and that's good for me. I lose for it. Bad. Big time. Why? The sealed honey for emergency. Okay? It's not for stimulation. Okay? You scratch up the hive, in a frame, one side, put it on top of the inner cover with the honey super, and the bees come up and take it down. The portion is a very important thing. We have CDs in a bank. Alright? Extra money, put in the bank, and seal it down for 3 years, whatever years, some emergency came up, and you go back to the bank, and you want to take out your money. Right? When you go to the bank and you give a handshake to a banker and almost kiss you, love you, when you go back to break up, he treated like you're a criminal. That's your money. Right? So let's put it this way, the sealed honey is CDs in the bank. The bees is break it up only in emergency, but do not stimulate brood rate. Very simple.
Mm-hmm. So, this time of the year, if you're going to stimulate your hive to try to get rid of bees, because you're like, in his case, behind the eight ball, or you have a high level of mites, and you treat it for the mites, you knock the, but your bee population needs to be built up for winter. Use how much?
Charlie, the story is like a spider web. One connection, one thing is connected to the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we talk about mites. It's a completely different concept.
Well, we're not really. We're talking about getting the bee stimulated to raise new brood.
The now, mite is nothing to do with the stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The stimulating new bees.
well, you're saying let's assume the mite is not an issue.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, so let's get the mite thing off the table for his question.
Yeah, there's different circumstances why people...
Is that possible?
This is the meantime.
You just have a lack of population. What do you do this time of year?
This time
lack of population, that's a problem. Everybody calling me, in last week and this week, I get so many calls, the similar thing, and I cannot have them answered because I cannot see their eyes. Okay? They call me, I have plenty of bees. Well, what's the mean of plenty? If you shake them off and my pound is how much? Oh, I don't know, but lots of bees. I can't give any answer. But the problem is, I go back to Charlie's mite issue. The mite, the problem, time for this one too. I'll talk about it a little bit.
Go.
The mite issue, how they're working then. Jeez. Everybody extracting the honey once a year. I don't know why. I used to extract every month. Whenever I have extra honey, I take it off because the honey is there. Don't do, silk honey don't do anything anymore. That's silk and that's it. That's only on the way. If you are working with a bee, you have to lift it up, have to put it back, and so on and so forth. So that's if it's yours, take it away. If it's the bees, leave it there. Right? The honey flow, major honey flow, stop. End of June. At least in my area.
9-10.
All right. What's happened in July? July is a month when the bee's life is shortest around the year. Bee's life in July, 32 to 35 days. What's happened? A mite is know which one is a young bee, which one is the old bee, because the young bees go to run close to the brood. The grown population and the breeding is cutting down, and the mite is digging the brood cells, right? But the bees is dying sooner than usual.
Shorter life, yeah.
Shorter life, but the mite is done. What's happened? The bees' life is going down, the bees' population going down. The mite number is don't go down, but the ratio is changed. Mm-hmm. Right? Was 5% mite, now we have 20% mite now. Mm-hmm. Big difference. Mm-hmm. Here comes the beekeeper. Take up the honey and the spring honey, all of them. Our location, my location, in 4th of July, the bees is looking for nectar. They're searching, they try to rob, but maybe in that time we make a stimulation brood, stimulation feeding for brood. July, August, we raise up the hive population, bee population, so therefore we are do not raise or compensate the mite population, percentage-wise, okay? And when, obviously, the best thing is treat for mite in first week in July, or middle of the July, okay? Take out a mite population as much as you can, because the brood rearing for drones, that time it stops. Okay. Up to that point, the mite is living in the dormant. So that's it. We have to eliminate that one. So what we are doing, we are raising up the hive population, okay, for a fall honey flow. So when the goldenrod is coming out, like in the middle of the August or end of August, okay, we have a hive. Reach high population and they're able to gather their own honey. Remember, bees make raising more bees, and more bees making more honey. If it's not in a balance, okay, it doesn't matter what you are doing, but the timing is not right. So first I told you that the timing is very important. Timing important for everything in a bee business. If you don't keep that, might as well just raise goat or pigeon. So that's for that question. The timing, stimulating thing, early as possible is better. But meantime, when you take up the honey, okay, you treat it for mite. Cut down the mite population. Many bee scientists think that the threshold, according to my book, one mite is too many mites. And but if we take out all of the mites, if we take out the ability of the bees to fighting the mites, no anti. Okay? If no mite, okay, the bees don't build up nothing against the mite. That's a world issue, not New Jersey or Western bee. It's the world issue. Mm. Everybody should treat mite treatment. Make sure the bees don't get muted, or a mite don't get muted, and have some mice so the mite is able to fight and build up the system against them.
Charlie, I got one question for you. On your research, where did you come up with that
80%? That's it. Lawrence O'Connor.
Who?
Lawrence,
all right, yeah,
okay.
I know.
Okay, they made the research on this one. And he made the research on the packages, They measured every package, how many ants, not how many pounds. Never mind, we are getting packages, we are buying 2 pound packages and getting 2 pounds. Measure. No one package from a 20, a 20 package was 3 pound. Was the biggest was 2 pound and 1 ounce. The rest of it was under 2 pounds.
Well, I have a problem with that because I'm dealing with a breeder and he's always over the 3 pound package.
That's what I get it. Only this year I made research and calculation and measurement for the package. Possible is not stand for other breeders, but that one is definitely was that way. And I am not alone.
Yeah, okay.
Two guys measure the same thing.
I'll call him up and I'll talk to him, and if I don't see him.
You don't do nothing, that's what I don't know. Make too much money because the demand on it. Yeah. If you can cut down the demand, alright? Okay, if everybody can, reason I'm here. Everybody can raise their own bees, no question. Okay? That's simple. Simple step. You have to follow it, okay? And you don't have to buy packages.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't say that you don't have to buy cleans or regenerate your stock, but it's unknown. I did it when I was 16 years old. It's not a big deal. You have to follow simple rules and you're done.
Hmm.
Time, of course, time, you know, I know the issue. Have to go work and pay the mortgage and anything, that's not the real. Again, you are a beekeeper or raise goats.
Yeah. The weather is something critical up here.
When
you get them queens bred, when you're doing a whole bunch of queens. You know?
But it's not caught in the storm. Some people have to make a 1 million.
You get mated and you got 3 or 4 days of rain and they come back to 40. No, fully mated,
right.
And you've got a lot of supersedures that we're going to wind up with. Yeah.
The queen breeders has no supersedures because they have a mating nose.
Yeah.
And the 15 days later, 2 weeks later, they shake about anyway and regret. Yeah. So that is not the issue. The issue is the bees, the queens, underdeveloped because they put it in a hive, two frame, 45 in one frame, and there's a 60, 70 queen size. No way on the earth those hive can raise that piece of produce origin. So the queen, first couple of days, when in a queen cell, the wild side, when the appetite is growing for the larva, okay, they've been underfed. So instead of they get the royal jelly, they get the honey. Okay? When you finish that book someplace, I'd like to show you something. Yes?
Back to the mites, what do you believe is the best?
I don't believe anything.
Treatment.
The beekeeper is the best treatment. I cannot give any advice because I give any advice and the person unuse it and they get call me back. So that's the best thing is go to the club like this club and talk with other beekeepers and share your information and get to it. RPM management is the best what I practice. Okay? Use 2-3 times. I use Conrad drones extensively. Mm-hmm. More than one reason. That way I can control my stock. So undesirable hives, I cut out the drones. So that those drones cannot mate with them, mm-hmm. desirable queens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a work. And believe me, that work is underpaid.
So can you, by the way, IPM is integrated pest management, not a chemical route, in case anybody didn't pick that up. Can you talk about, you raise queens for sale.
Yeah.
You have to start a queen in some manner. You have to get it to mate in your mating yard. And then you have to assure that the queen is of proper quality before you will sell it. Can you talk about just a couple of the highlights on how you go about that and what's involved? So anybody who's never done that, which is the whole audience, you know,
when we're raising the
queen, how does this work?
That's work very simple. Let's make the queen still expensive. Thank you. The queen is not made. Number one, I have to make sure the queen is made. When it's made, I'm all done. Looks all of my mating queens in a 5-frame looks. It not necessarily has a 5-frame in it, but at minimum a 2-frame, but a full frame, right? When the reason I just run through all of the mating hives, if I find an unmated queen or no queen at all, I have to dissolve it because they turn to the vertical layer.
How do you know she's made it? Does she look different when she's made it?
Well, believe it or not, they behave different.
Oh, how?
Walk different, on the frame, run, okay, usually wings up, unhappy, unrelaxed, okay, and that queen is indicated for something is wrong with it. Right here. On top of the hive, I make a note, check mark, date, queen, just a Q, and a big question mark. A date is there, the question mark is there. So I don't have a time to pamper every hive at the same time, the same way, okay, just so I make, when I have a time, I come back. Okay, look it up. And if it's still not made it, I pick up my hive tool, throw her out.
But she walks differently and she acts differently. That's how Absolutely. You can tell she's made.
Absolutely.
You race it around the frame. You run radically. Enough.
If she's made.
Yes. If it's made it, that's it. Calm.
She's not made.
Now when she's
not made.
She's not made. She's not made.
She's not made.
She's not happy.
Yeah, let's make sure you get it right.
Got it. I'm just curious. How can you tell the difference?
So,
a mated queen has a purpose. An unmated queen is the nervous belly. That's how you can kind of remember. Hmm.
So, when it's done in a second round, when it comes to it, it comes to the physical check of the queen. When it's, all of them is relaxed, all of that's a mating, even you can observe that when it's depositing and in the cell. If you can see it. And how she can walk again. And you have to check a physical check. Make sure all of the legs in a proper position and that she's able to use it properly. Why is that? Because she loses using the legs when to back up in a cell and depositing the eggs. Which eggs is not centered? Okay? The queen is unfit. One reason or other reason you can find out. When you find the queen is running, Charlie make a couple of photos, copies on one of my queen. When a queen wing is a little bit shorter. Mm-hmm. So the wing is shorter, she cannot fly. If she cannot fly, she cannot mate. Mm-hmm. So for a inexperienced eye, I have a queen. Okay, but she's useless. When you find out when she's useless, you have already a drone layer. I mean, a drone layer or a vertical layer. Okay, so the queen that nooks or hives or whatever go out of the drain. You know, that's it. That's amen. You have to shake them out and have to restart. Quality of the queen. Now you know that you have a queen, right? You know she's walking. Right, laying eggs, right? Okay, how do you know that she is really right? Every queen manipulation is going to feed the colony or the nooks. Every doesn't matter what you are doing with the queen, that hive must be fed before or after. You requeen the hive, must be fit, before and after, until the condition is stable. Condition, timing, I can't talk about it because everything in beekeeping, timing and condition, right? So I have a 5-frame looks now, fairly populated, and I really like to find out what the queen is doing. Only one way I can do it, if I put in a old frame, one or twice is used in brood frame, is not necessary. All of the cells in the right location, or one of the cells had already pollen in it, other cells really like more, bigger, or other cell was used for drone, or honey in it, so that's maybe when you see the sealed road, it looked like a gunshot pattern. Maybe. But it's not necessary. Right? I'm feeding the bees continuously, one hole in a jar, and I put in a foundation. Oh, new foundation, new frame. All of the cells in, the bees and the queen love the new foundation. The cells drawn out a quarter inch or less, and the queen is laying eggs. And you're 100% sure you can see it in the bare eyes, you don't need a magnifier, when a pattern is right. How she can lay eggs, the queen is laying eggs in a circle. Okay? Start in one point and go around, and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And when you look at the larva, a couple of days old, you see the center is a bigger larva, and goes out and out and out and gets more and smaller and smaller. If the queen is missing the cells, you know that she underdeveloped and undermated. And that statement is good.
So we've been going a while, and I see people fidgeting. So I think we need to take a break.
One more thing.
Why don't we do this, Charlie? Can we bring him back for 5 minutes and answer questions? We'll let everybody take a break.
All right, I'll find a picture and
good. Okay,
we'll come back.
Take a break, everybody, and we'll come back to a lot of questions.
And you should see that how the dragonfly suck is gone again.
Yep.
And but it's the cloud like a cloud. It's in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Wow. There is my queen going. I find right away. So any question?
European hornets too, you're seeing right
that's
now.
That's a lot of but it's a different story.
Can you display it then?
I can't.
Okay.
But we can talk. We can talk.
Talk it now, or we can talk
about
it.
Talk.
On this page, the queen reproductive system. I want to add this one to the queen quality. How we measure it. These lines and the warriors. And ovaries is developing the eggs. Not rare, good queens can rear 3,000 eggs in 24 hours while developing. These ovaries, in a well developed queen, must be over 128 ovaries. Under that is a pure quality. Over 100, up to 290 ovaries, 298, something like that, measured by scientists, which are well developed. So how we measure that again, the egg laying capacity. Very simple. Not simple, but, you know. And this is a this one. This ball here is a spermatica. And the queen is storing the sperms from the drones. It's not accident, this is run. It's a globe. And how they injected in the sperm, that is turning, okay, and mixing up. So that's the reason when we open the hive and we mix bread, sometimes you see the yellow queens, sometimes the darker queens, and all kind of variation. So that's the reason also, once we open the hive, and the bees are a little bit creepier than the other time. Because that drone that made it just came on the line to fertilize the eggs. In this spermatica, it can contain 2.5 to 3 million eggs, sperm, to fertilize the eggs. When this spermatica is run out from sperm, a drone became a drone layer. Actually, when I talk about it, the queen don't became a drone layer. But the queen was originally a drone layer. Just lose the ability to fertilize the eggs. That's two things, but maybe a beekeeper terms that easier. Oh, mine is a drone layer. And the ability of the queen, how they fertilize eggs, is when we see empty holes in the cells. It's not necessary. Is the queen is missed that cell. Just is unfertilized eggs, and the queen is bees move that. So that is an indication of the visual inspection. The queen is good, because the queen is going up. And remember one thing. Good queen always can turn to the bad queen. When you have a bad queen, don't wait too long. Bad queen is never ever turned to the good queen.